Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everybody. Great to see you all this evening on a Saturday night in the house of the Lord. Amen. And all our young ones are away on camp. And I can tell you they're having a powerful evening tonight. That I can guarantee you. I'm very grateful for that. I heard last night already was really powerful. And historically, Friday night is never good. So we're very thankful that God moved already last night. And if that happened last night, I can only imagine what the Lord will do tonight for those young kids. You know, from when I remember back in the days at Little Falls, when I was a youth leader back there, I wanted to be the youth pastor. And I remember going on camp, and God would move in the most incredible way on the camps. And then when we came here and we started the work here as well, it was exactly the same. We just saw God move. I think God just loves teenagers and young people, you know. And so He just wants to touch them. And it's amazing to see the Lord do that, and we're very, very grateful. We have a no-compromise youth, by the way. Okay. I just want to say one thing, maybe two or three things before I get into tonight's message. With regards to December 1st, that's a Wednesday night, that's a U group night, so we want all the U groups to come to the theater. Amen. And the rest of the church can join in. It's really important that you sign up. The $12.50 is what the theater charges. We're not charging anything on top of that. We actually spoke to the guys at The Chosen as well just to let them know what we're doing, and they responded to us, and we had a little bit of dialogue with regards to just certain things. But we're very excited about it. We've spoken to AMC Theatre. They're excited about it too. But it's important that I can kind of gauge how many people are interested so we can reserve one of the theatres for that night. There's a theatre that goes up to 450 people. We'd really love to take that one, you know. Amen. So please don't forget when you leave today to sign up and kind of put next to your name how many people will be coming in your group, so we can just get an idea and then we'll reserve it. I have no doubt that whichever size we take, we'll fill it up. We'll probably need more than that, but I'm sure that night, I will be surprised if the entire theater isn't dedicated to The Chosen that night. I'll be very surprised. So we're very excited about that. They're doing a great work, those guys. I don't know if you've seen as well, just out of interest sake, there's a new animation coming out about the life of David, which is also phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and it's a South African guy that's making it. Can you believe it? Any South African guys are good guys, eh? I tell you what. And it's really awesome. There's this one little part. Naomi thinks I'm very funny because I'll go and watch the trailer, and then go to one little part, and I'll rewind it and listen to this little song, and then rewind it again and listen to the song. And then she says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Psalm 23, man. Don't you know how powerful it is?" You know, and it's just, I love it, you know. So it's really going to be something special, I believe. We need to put some stuff out there that our kids can watch that can impact their lives. It isn't a whole bunch of garbage. Amen. So that was the one thing. There was something else, but I've forgotten. Maybe later. All right. I want to get into tonight's word. And it's actually, you know, about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I can't remember exactly, I preached on the foundational doctrines that are in Scripture. But the way the church is growing at the moment, and there's a lot of new people, and people don't always understand everything that we do. So I felt very strong in my heart already last week to begin or to minister this word. It was kind of difficult for me whether I should minister it on Sunday morning or tonight, but it doesn't matter because whoever's not here tonight can always go listen to it online. But also I believe God wants to move. So, you know, we preach the word and then we demonstrate the word too. Is that okay? So let's go to Hebrews 6. My message tonight is entitled, Why We Lay Hands. Why We Lay Hands. Hebrews 6, verse number 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. The doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. We see here the writer of Hebrews, and most people, most scholars believe is Paul, is talking about foundational doctrines. I want you to understand foundational there really means basic stuff, elementary. We're talking about this is ground level. We're talking about every believer should know about these things. And he mentions a few things. He speaks about, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptism. And the one we're going to focus on today is laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. You see, the majority of these doctrines are taught in the church, but the one that for some reason just doesn't seem to be mentioned a whole bunch anymore is the laying on of hands. And the laying on of hands, I really want to really minister on this now, because I also feel that with what the enemy is wanting to do is he's wanting to separate us from each other. He doesn't want us to make contact with each other. Contact tracing. The thing is that there is something that the Bible has to say about making contact with people. And specifically in this area, the laying on of hands. Now, I'm not saying that you must be careless and reckless, obviously. But at the same time, as things begin to get better, we want to start moving into this again. And if you've been here over the last few weeks, you'll notice we begin to open up again the altars at the end of services. We've been doing a lot of prayer ministry. And I also want to start ministering a lot more to the congregation. So it's very important. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Now be quiet, okay? Okay. Can't take him anywhere. You know what I mean? All right. I'm joking, right? Okay. All right. All right. So, see, Naomi's not here, so I can misbehave just a little bit. Okay. Just a little bit. Only when she's not here, because she gives me this look, guys. Like, I know that I've gone too far. I'll just look at her, and I think Ashley knows what I'm talking about. Okay, so anyway, let's continue. So laying on of hands is without doubt something in Scripture that we see right from the very beginning. This is not a new thing. And it's most definitely not something that was supposed to stop at a specific time in our history, because certain individuals didn't feel it would be appropriate anymore. No, there's no way. So let's go into it and take a look at it. The first thing I want you to understand is that God is the one who gives us the example in Scripture. And where you see God's hand on individuals' lives in Scripture, you will see that when His hand comes upon someone, there is power released, there are gifts released, there is authority released, and there are blessings that are released. These are the things that you see on the lives of individuals in the Old Testament Scriptures when the hand of God comes on someone. How many of you have ever heard someone say this? Man, you can see God's hand is on that person's life. I'm sure many of you have seen that or heard that for yourself. Maybe you've even said it. And the majority of the time why you would say that is because you recognize that there's a blessing on that person's life, or there's an authority or an anointing on that individual's life. And so it makes perfect sense. God's hand is on that individual's life. So let's take a look in the Old Testament, just at a couple of examples real quick. Ezekiel 8, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. This is Ezekiel, and this is the moment where things changed for him. Now remember, I taught you recently about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you. Now also in the Old Testament, when we see the hand of the Lord, it really is one and the same sort of thing. When the Spirit of God would come upon people in the Old Testament, we would see God's hand and blessing come upon them. It's the same when the hand of the Lord comes on you. Listen, when the hand of the Lord comes on you, He anoints you. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, He anoints you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't get bent out of shape because it's the hand of the Lord and not the Spirit of the Lord. But God wants you to get certain things. And He knows how we are. He knows that we're very difficult. Thank you. Okay. Because the truth is, if it doesn't say it plainly for us, we just won't get it. So it's important that in Scripture, God gives us the examples to help us. You know what I mean? If I see it in the Word, then nobody can say anything about it. I really don't care what you say. If God's Word says it, well, then it is what it is. We see in the life of Elijah, let's look at Elijah first. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. I know when I sent the scriptures to Pastor William, he must have gone, oh. All right. 1 Kings 18, verse number 46. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So we see in that moment a supernatural event takes place because the hand of the Lord comes upon the prophet. Elisha, 2 Kings 3 verse 15. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. The hand of the Lord came upon him and something changed. There's a blessing that was released. There was an authority, a power that was released because of the hand of the Lord. And so we see God give us this example. But we also see from the very beginning how God would use man to give impartation, blessings, to release authority, to release certain things to individuals through the hands of man. So let's take a look in Genesis 48. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Genesis 48, verse number 12. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, this is his children, Ephraim and the right hand towards Israel, and with his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with the left hand towards Israel's right hand, he brought them near him. Then he stretched out his right hand. This is now Joseph. This is Jacob. This is Jacob now stretching his hand out. Then Israel, Jacob, stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head. And I love this because he takes his hands, puts them on their head, because he's about to release something to them. He's about to release a blessing to them, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. There was a firstborn blessing here. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let's just stop right there. So you can see he's releasing a blessing to them. He's laying there his hands on them, and there's an impartation of that blessing. We see it right there with Jacob, with Israel. If we look at Joshua, this is a phenomenal example. Actually, this is Moses, really, who's laying his hands. Numbers 27, verse 22 says this. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So we see Moses lay his hands on Joshua to inaugurate him. Now watch, because we're going to find out why he did this. What was the purpose of the laying on of hands? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. How do we know? How did this happen? How did he get the spirit of wisdom? For Moses had laid his hands on him. Do you see it? There was an impartation when Moses laid his hands on Joshua. And one of the things that he received when hands were laid on him was the spirit of wisdom, which we know is the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit came upon them to do works in the Old Testament, to do service for God. So we see clearly here that the hand of the Lord, he laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now we can see throughout the Old Testament, there's a lot more examples that I can give you where you see from one individual to another where hands are laid for some form of impartation. But I don't think there's any question that the greatest example of someone that laid hands on individuals would be Jesus. So we know Jesus is the greatest miracle worker. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he also models laying on of hands. Now, Jesus would minister and impart in many different ways. But one of the ways that he clearly did it was through the laying on of hands. Luke 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them, and then he healed them. Now, in this specific scenario, and in fact, we're going to talk here primarily about one of the reasons hands are laid. Hands are laid on individuals for healing. And the one who models this for us first in Scripture is Jesus in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we see Jesus lay hands. I'm talking about from the New Testament perspective. We're not talking about Old Testament because there are some things in the Old Testament with laying on of hands as well for healing. But here specifically, New Testament, Jesus lays his hands, and it says here, he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Another example of Jesus, Mark 6, verse number 5. Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So Jesus is in another example, laying his hands on individuals. The reason he's laying his hands on them is to bring healing to them. But Jesus is not the only one in the New Testament scriptures that does signs and wonders and healings. Acts 5 verse number 12 says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord on Simon's porch. Acts 28 verse number 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went to him and prayed. And he laid his hands. Everyone say laid his hands. This is Paul the Apostle, laid his hands on him and healed him. Let's go to Acts 19, verse number 11. Now God worked unusual miracles. How? By the hands of Paul. So we can see clearly that in the New Testament era, in the beginning of the church, Jesus gives us an example of laying on of hands for the purpose of healing. We see it in the life of Jesus. We also see it in the life of the apostles. No question about that. But the Bible tells us that this was not an exclusive thing for the apostles only. Now, if you don't agree, you must please go to the original authors of the scriptures I'm about to read to you and tell them to change it. Because the Bible says in Mark 16, 15, and he said, this is Jesus, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now watch. And these signs will follow those who believe. Let's stop there. Jesus did not say to the apostles, these signs will follow only you because you are the elect, because you walked with me, because you were chosen, and when you are finished, it will end. Are you with me? Jesus said these words, these signs will follow those who believe. Okay, so that means that they will follow every believer. This is one of my favorite scriptures. When I get into this, it's a problem because I struggle to leave it. Is that okay? So what I'm trying to say to you is if you want to doctrinally find a reason to say that this no longer exists, you need to change the text. And scriptures are very clear about what happens and the consequences of doing that. So the problem is you can't change it. This says that these signs will follow those who believe. Now, I'm not going to get into all of them, but one of them is important for the context of what we're discussing. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands. Everybody say, lay hands. On the sick and they will recover. I want you to see it. These signs will follow those who believe. we see the picture of Jesus. We see the picture of the apostles. And Jesus is making sure that they understand that what they're going to be walking in is not for them exclusively, but it is also for every single person who picks up the call and believes in the Jesus Christ that died on the cross and rose again. One of the ways we see healing is through the laying on of hands. I call it a forgotten doctrine. A doctrine they choose no longer to preach about because it doesn't apply. Or maybe it's because nothing's happening. So because it didn't happen once, we're not going to do it again. Because what if God doesn't heal when we pray? Well, let me ask you this. What if He does heal when you pray? Amen. Let me tell you something. I've prayed for a lot of people, sick people, many. And I've seen many not get healed. But I've also seen many get healed. And when they do get healed, it is the most amazing thing. It's so amazing that afterwards you try and convince yourself, because your brain is so messed up, that you try and think it wasn't really possible. Or there must have been some other excuse for it. Or years later, you almost can't explain what happened. And that's what makes it supernatural. You can't explain it. How is it possible that you, just being dust, really, because that's what you are, by the way. You were made from the dust of the earth. And how is it possible that when you lay your hands, that the Spirit of God can move through you and actually heal somebody? Isn't it incredible? But I want you to understand that this is so important for the time that the church is about to step into, because the church must increase in signs, wonders, and miracles. Must. Has to. Has to. Because people won't believe if they don't see. Well, they shouldn't just believe. Well, go fight with them. Don't fight with me. If you look, Jesus even said, if you don't believe in me, just believe for the sake of the works. What works was he talking about? The signs and the wonders. Well, only a wicked and perverse generation seek after a sign and wonder. Yes, you Pharisee, you wicked and perverse person, you. You are the one testing and challenging. You religious person. Stop your nonsense. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing God touch somebody. There's nothing more wonderful than seeing God do a supernatural miracle. One of the best things I've ever experienced is when you pray for someone and then they're healed and they get such a fright that they can't believe it. They're like, I'm healed. I'm healed. And they can't believe it. They can't comprehend it. Because how is it possible that 4 seconds ago you were sick and suddenly you're not sick anymore? Well, I can't explain it. Of course you can't. It's supernatural. And God uses the laying on of hands to do this. Clearly from Scripture. No argument. No debate. Can't change the word. Sorry. Amen. So that's one thing. And this is only one thing that we see the laying on of hands used for. And without any doubt, still very appropriate for today. We also see the laying on of hands when it comes to receiving gifts. In other words, God wants to give gifts, and also we see God release callings to individuals through the laying on of hands. Amen. Let's take a look at a couple of examples from the book of Acts, and we'll go into Timothy as well. Acts 6, verse number 5. And the sayings pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, watch this, they laid hands on them. These guys are busy being anointed to clean tables. Just want you to know that. Okay? But shortly after this, just a little while after, one of them, the one that you see there whose name is Philip, ends up leaving Jerusalem and goes to Samaria and turns the world inside out, upside down. Why? Because he had been given an impartation. hands were laid on him. He was released and blessed with a calling from God. It may have looked like in the beginning all it was to taking care of widows and taking care of looking after tables, but God had bigger plans for him. Well, you know, sometimes you'll pray for someone, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give gifts as He wills. But He still wants someone to do the impartation. Why? Because where does the Holy Spirit live? I really like that, you know. I really like that He lives in us. I sometimes feel very sorry for Him because it must be really hard to live inside me. I'm just going to be honest. I know what goes on in my mind. And listen, if it's rough in my mind, okay? Because I'm pretty awesome, you know, anyway, all right. I'm pretty holy, you know, but, you know, anyway, all right. It must be difficult for the Holy Spirit sometimes because I think we grieve Him all the time. But He so desperately wants to partner with you so that you will surrender to Him so that He can use you. What's amazing is that all it requires actually is for us to surrender. Then He uses us, and then we think a lot of ourselves. Isn't it funny? The fact is, you did nothing. You just became a vessel. Yes, you're a chosen vessel. And yes, you are special because you are His. You are a son or a daughter of God. It's a great privilege to be used by Him. But remember, it's still Him. The inheritance and everything that you receive, all is His. And you didn't have to work for it. He gave it to you as a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and wants to use you. And one of the ways that He moves is through the laying on of hands. We see here again, gifts and callings released through the laying on of hands. Let's look at another example. Is this okay, guys, tonight? Amen. Acts 13, verse number 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger; Lucius and Cyrene; Manoen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch; and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then they fasted and prayed, now watch, and laid hands on them, and they sent them away. I want you to understand, if you study the life of Paul, you will find out that's the day his ministry began. All the other stuff that happened to him, his encounter with Jesus, you'll see that hands were laid on him by what's his name? Come on, John. Ananias, that's it. Whoever you are, you've been to Bible school. Amen. All right. So we see, you know, through Ananias' hands. But if you'll find out that Paul goes out and tries a whole lot of things, and it goes very wrong for him. And he ends up with these men praying and seeking the Lord. And then the Lord comes and says, now it's time. And hands are laid on him, gifts and calling is released to him, and off he goes, and his ministry is an incredible success. Is it difficult? Yes. No one ever said it would be easy. No one ever promised you a rose garden. I remember getting a prophetic word like that. It was wonderful until that part. Sounded great. All this stuff's going to happen. And then he said, but remember, it won't be a rose garden. I was like, why did you have to add that in there? But you see clearly here that it's through the laying on of hands many times that gifts and callings are released. Now watch this. Let's go to, I was actually going to read the story of Ananias, but for the sake of time, let's go to 1 Timothy 4:14. Look how Paul talks to Timothy. He says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." What gift? "Which was given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the eldership." Now, I honestly believe that he's going to remind him, and he's going to tell him a little bit more about this a little bit later on in 2 Timothy 1, verse number 6. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. We also know, I don't have the scripture here, we also know that Paul actually speaks about laying on of hand, laying hands on him, and him receiving stuff, actual gifts and callings and things from Paul himself. So there's gifts and callings and stuff that's released to Timothy through the laying on of hands through the elders and also through Paul. And this is powerful. Paul also wants to write to the church at Rome, and he can't get to them, so he writes in Romans 1:11, he says, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. Now understand, he's writing to them, so he's giving them impartation, but he's saying, I want to come to you. Why does he want to come to them? Because he wants to lay hands on them, so that he can impart, what? Spiritual gifts. Different things that the body of Christ needs to do the work of the ministry. Remember, the fivefold ministry is called to train up the church, to impart to the church, and then the body of Christ rises up and it becomes like a powerful, powerful machine that works for the kingdom. We also see the laying on of hands for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the scripture clearly many times. In other words, the Holy Spirit is given through laying on of hands, especially for the Holy Spirit coming upon an individual's life. Acts 8 verse 14. Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what did they do? Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now if you've been in this church for a while, you will know that Philip had already been to Samaria and that there had already been revival in Samaria. People were healed, demons screamed, they had revival, people were saved. But what happens is the apostles come into town. Why? Because they want to raise up a church. They want to raise up a people. They want to give them an impartation of the Holy Spirit so that they too can begin to do the work of the ministry. Gifts and callings are released. The Holy Spirit is released. Acts 19 verse number 6 says this, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. There is no question that the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the hand of the Lord and blessings come upon an individual through the laying on of hands. It is a powerful, powerful doctrine. It is one that cannot, not should not, cannot be ignored. And you want to tell me that this stuff about not even being able to speak to someone anymore, never mind lay hands, is not a strategy of the enemy to stop the work of God? Of course it is. Listen, God is very creative. He'll always figure out a way to do whatever he wants to do. But let me tell you something. There is something very special about hands being laid on an individual and a calling or a gift being released from God. Please remember, let me say that again. From God, from the Spirit. He's the one who does it. Sometimes the individual praying has a little bit of an idea, but the majority of the time, we don't know exactly what God's doing. I'll pray for you for something, but the Holy Spirit, as He wills, is doing whatever He wants. Giving you things, imparting things. And at the same time, when you come for prayer, when you step forward for prayer, for the laying on of hands, you can also get healed. Now, it's not the exclusive way, but without any doubt, it's scriptural. Without any doubt, it's in the Word of God. Well, you know, I don't want to go to that church. They lay hands on people. Well, I'm so sorry that we do what the Bible says. I would be more concerned about going to a church that does not lay hands. They are leaving out, hear me now, a foundational doctrine, elementary principle in Scripture. This is what Paul's saying. Do we still have to talk about this? This is baby milk. It's time for you to move on. But the Holy Spirit, he says, but only if God permits me, because the truth is, we can't go any further until you get this. Are you with me? What does that mean for the body of Christ today? Paul's saying, I can't teach you anything else because you don't understand the basics. You're not grasping the basics. But we'll teach everything else and leave out the foundations. Have you ever seen a house built on a foundation that isn't good? What will happen to the house? It will fall. You can never eliminate impartation from church, from the body of Christ. You cannot do it. Yes, I can teach a lot of things, but the Holy Spirit can do a whole lot more when he wants to move. Through impartation, through laying on of hands is one of the ways. Again, I over-iterate, one of the ways, but most definitely not a part we should leave out. Can't leave it out, can't. Now, I've just given you a few examples. Listen, in the life of Jesus, I could give you a long pile. In the story of the apostles, we could go on. And throughout the church age too, we have seen many, many times. I can tell you right now that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the laying on of hands. And in my life, prophecy too. I got a prophetic word when I was 19 years old that has preserved me in my ministry many times. One of the things that was said, and it's so funny, when you prophesy over someone, you'll say things and you'll think, that's a little strange. But this one time, I'll never forget, one of the words I got, I've had two prophecies that were really very, very impactful. But the one was something really, every question I asked the Lord about the first one, he answered in the second one. And the second one only came like 2 years later, 3 years later. I'd received many in between, but they were not like this. These are what I call event, like life-changing prophecies. And so when he prophesied over me, he said these words, I will never forget it. He said, and like the Lord was speaking and said, you will breathe me in and you will breathe me out. I will never forget it. And I never understood it. And when I was here in the United States and I'd had my encounter with the Lord and I was praying and just getting back to God and sort of getting connected with church again, one morning I was driving from Jensen Beach to Okeechobee. And I was halfway, I was close to Dunklin, for those of you who know where Dunklin is, on that back road, in the middle of nowhere. And I'm driving on that road, and suddenly I'm praying, and I'm breathing in, and the presence of God fills the room where every breath feels like I'm breathing God in. And I'm breathing, and I'm weeping, I can hardly see out of my eyes, and I'm just experiencing God's presence in the most incredible way, and suddenly those words come to me. And God, it's like God was saying to me, what you heard then was for now. For now, we're talking about like 20 years later that I'm busy sitting experiencing this. It was unbelievable. Are you with me, guys? It was about 15 years later, okay? For those of you that are keeping your, okay? Well, you know, we get good teaching. Listen, there's a lot of good teachers. But we need God, man. We need the presence of God. Well, you know, Pastor, I've lost my joy. Well, the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy. You know, people, one of the greatest tragedies of life today is depression. Well, what will combat depression? Joy. Where do you find it? In his presence.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.